Hey everyone, in today's episode, we will be exploring the subject matter of grief. Wanted to give you a heads up that there will be some more sensitive and potentially triggering subject matter explored and mentioned. This might not be an episode that is good for young ears to listen to, so just be aware as you start today's episode. There will be chimes throughout as you listen, so if you'd like to skip ahead to potentially bypass any of those subjects, feel free. But we do invite you to listen as we think the subject of grief is important to explore and discuss. So we invite you to listen as you're ready. Hey everyone, this is the Hopecast from Hope Church RVA. I'm Rachel Dawson and I'm part of the communications team here at Hope, and I'm joined today by our senior pastor, David White. We're here to have a conversation about common questions in life and faith in under 30 minutes, and today we're exploring grief. So this is a big subject. It can be maybe a heavy one, a nuanced one. So David, I'd love for you to just kind of get us started and share what is your sense or your definition maybe of how you would explain even what grief is, and maybe we can get into unpacking how we even grieve and what that looks like.
Yeah. Yes, this is a really, really meaningful conversation today. It's a huge topic. Mm-hmm. I would describe grief as our emotional response to loss. Mm. Now, when I say that, there is intellectual response to loss too, but, you know, and the whole dichotomy of like head and heart and intellect and emotion, grief tilts toward the emotional. Its primary place of experience is emotional.
Yeah.
Now, grief brings intellectual questions, and that's part of grief, but the primary place of grief is emotional. And so I would say grief is primarily our emotional response to loss. And I think most of the time when we use the word grief in our culture, we associate it with death. Yeah. And yes, of course, this is true. Mm-hmm. And this is frequently going to be the most significant category of the depth and the emotions of loss. But I don't think grief has to be limited only to death.
Right.
There are a lot of things that happen in life that cause grief. Mm-hmm. And if we just frame it around the idea of loss, we can grieve the loss of a relationship. We can grieve a loss of health. We can grieve the pain in our culture. So I think everybody gets the idea.
Yeah.
And so if we begin to embrace this, I think grief becomes a significant topic. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I think we would want to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. I think it's a topic that's gotten more attention in maybe the last 5-10 years in our culture. Not a whole lot of attention, I think, maybe up to that time. Grief was often considered sort of a private emotional journey.
Yeah.
And there was a lot surrounding grief of, you know, I don't really want to talk about it, mm-hmm. or something's too hard or too painful to talk about. And while we can respect that, I think there are healthier versions of how we deal with grief, mm-hmm. and how do we move forward in it. I also think grief invites us to some very important balance points. In mm-hmm. other words, what I would say is grief, our emotional response to loss, it's a reality. We human beings have it, whether we pay attention to it or not. And so paying attention to it is probably the healthier thing to do than not paying attention to it. I've heard it said, this is a little bit of a harder way to say it, but grief is a pay me now or pay me later proposition. Mm. In other words, it is an emotional given. And so if I know that, and I will try to enter that emotional space in a healthy way, I am engaging this with awareness and with as much truth and honesty as I can. Sometimes you hear stories about grief suppressed or not dealt with, And what happens is somebody experiences something really hard and they push it down and don't pay attention to it. And 6 years later, they're driving down the highway and they start crying uncontrollably. And they're like, what is this? Like, what in the world? Why is this happening? And it's just a kind of illustration, but it's a kind of thing. You know what that could be? That could be grief just coming out.
Yeah.
Because grief is an emotional response. Mm-hmm. And if we don't steward it or shepherd it for a healthy processing, it's going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an emotional buildup, an emotional pressure. So I'm envisioning in my mind like a river that has a dam with it. And as that river gains more water and more water pressure, you know, like I'm thinking you would open valves in the dam to allow that pressure to be managed in a, let's call it, as a not damaging way. But if you don't ever deal with it, there's going to be a time where that river is just going to flood over.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think all of this comes with grief.
Mm-hmm.
Then, and if we want, we can talk a little bit more about some of my experiences in this, particularly with death. But there is this place which is you want to enter into grief and the right emotional engagement with it. For lack of a better way to say it, I would say, but you don't want to fall in,
mm-hmm.
you know, like a, I don't know, like a pool or a canyon or something.
Mm.
You've got to enter, but you can actually overdo it. And then with trying to enter, but not doing it in the right healthy way,
mm-hmm.
we fall into a persona of the wounded, grieving, sad person, and you get stuck in it and you can never get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least it takes a whole lot longer to get out of it. And so grief invites these balance points of engagement. How do we grieve well without going so far in that we get stuck and can't get out?
Mm-hmm.
How long do you grieve?
Yeah.
That probably depends on a lot of different variables.
Mm-hmm.
I started reading a new book, and it's a novel. And the opening page, the guy talks about a friend who died. And he says, this was some time ago, and I no longer actively grieve him. So I was with my wife, Elizabeth, and I read the sentence to her. And I said, what would you describe actively grieving? Right. So we had this conversation about actively grieving versus, yes, I have a sadness and a memory, but like mm-hmm. it's not an active mm-hmm. grief. All of this yeah. is nuanced about grief.
Right.
So I would say in the most general way, it is our emotional response to loss
mm-hmm.
and it happens
mm-hmm.
whether we pay attention to it or not.
Right.
So trying to learn and pay attention to it in the healthiest ways possible.
Mm-hmm.
I think is maybe part of what our conversation is about.
Something that's interesting. I love this conversation because I think for me, grief has been a newer exploration. Something that, like you said, it wasn't something I grew up having a lot of context. It wasn't in the conversations I was hearing. It just wasn't really around me. And I've been fortunate to not have had many experiences with death in my life. So it just felt like something that wasn't really, part of the world I grew up in. And that's beautiful in some ways, right? And I'm grateful for that. And also it's been challenging because now that it's kind of entered the scene a little bit, it's been a little bit shocking
mm-hmm.
and feel like, oh, how do I do this?
Yeah.
And what does this look like? And something that's been interesting to talk about with my spiritual director, there's been a visual that's been really helpful to me and might be helpful to others. I think it's Kubler-Ross that talks about the stages of grief mm-hmm. and kind of these phases. And I think that's a pretty well-known concept that mm-hmm. there's, you know, anger and denial and there's these different phases, right? And we can often think of those as pretty linear. And that's kind of, I think, maybe an older kind mm-hmm. of definition of them, that they
yeah.
are, you know, this, and then you move to this, and then you move to that. And my spiritual director was gracious to help me realize that that's not how grief tends to work, that it usually doesn't go cleanly from one phase to the next.
Yes.
She describes it more like a kind of a spiraling situation.
I was going to say, like a slow progression forward with continual looping back.
Yeah. And like I picture when you were saying you don't want to fall into it, when you're picturing kind of that spiral, but at one point she said that the, not a, maybe a risk even actually, is that that spiral can kind of become a cyclone.
A vortex.
A vortex. Yeah. And you can fall into that. And very much like that spiral becomes this kind of swirling thing that you gotta get sucked down into.
Right.
But a more helpful kind of image that's been really helpful for me is to picture that spiral being almost more like, almost like if you could picture like a slinky maybe stretched out, but vertically, or I mean horizontally stretched out.
Yeah.
So the spiral, as you're moving through it, you're actually moving forward along the line. So there's some semblance of linear, but like you said, there is some looping. You might loop backwards a little bit down that spiral. You might loop forward, but there's some still movement to it. Horizontally. And that's been helpful for me to realize that, sometimes I might go back into, not backwards, but I might feel anger come rise up again. And now I might feel, I'm like, oh, I'm denying it again. Or, oh, I might feel guilt, or I might feel these different things. And then I might feel some relief, and I might feel better, and then I might feel worse. And all of that kind of swirls in that. But it's been helpful for me to realize it's not always linear. There's a lot more nuance and complexity to grief than I once knew.
Yeah.
And there's some freedom in that. And also it's overwhelming too.
Yes.
And all of that can be true.
So we, from a Christian perspective, we would say we live in a fallen world, that it is marked by sin and brokenness, which means cause for grief will come to everyone in time, one way or another. Now, there are little children who experience cause for grief early on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sad, and we wish it wasn't so, but it's true. Other people don't really experience things that are at the proportion of grief until much later in life. So this becomes quite interesting. Because a person who, let's say, grew up in really hard circumstances and is acquainted with hard and had been from the time they were a child, they begin to see the world this way, and they're not surprised by hard, right? But if you take another person who grew up in, let's just call it, pretty happy, safe, protected circumstances and didn't really experience anything hard until they were 37, that's a shock to the system, because the other, let's say they're both at 37 years old and one of them grew up with a lot of hard and the other one didn't really hit something really hard until they were 37. Those two people are very different people. And the 37-year-old is shocked. And the shock value may come out in things like, you know, this isn't right. This shouldn't happen. This is awful. Why is this happening to me? And the other person is like, I don't understand why you're saying all that. Like, it's normal, right? So this is it's very nuanced. It's not to say that, you know, we want the person to be acquainted with hard from the time they're a little child, but that person is a different person.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about this for a minute, but I also think we need to talk about the benefits of grief, because there are a lot of them. But we can grieve, you know, we grieve the loss of a job. What happened? Is there something wrong with me? You know, et cetera, et cetera. The grief of death, somebody we love, somebody who's very close to us, this is a really big topic.
Mm-hmm.
And people die in very different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And different deaths have different aspects of emotional trauma with them, right? So without trying to make this too much about my own experiences, but these are contexts for my own learning. In my life so far, for example, my wife Elizabeth and I, we've lost all four of our parents.
Mm.
And so One of them was killed in a car accident, was wonderfully healthy, vibrant, and the next second they're gone. That's a certain kind of grief to deal with that kind of a death. That was Elizabeth's mom. My dad had a 7-year journey with Alzheimer's. So that's a different kind of experience. Elizabeth's father had about a 2-year declining health situation, maybe a little more, if you could even say it, normal, or what we're sort of used to. And actually among our parents, as much as we have a grief of missing her, like my mom, she died at 92. She lived a long, beautiful life, and she died peacefully. So in a sense, those are very different. I have a brother who took his own life. Suicide is its own category for those who survive for grief and all the feelings that come with it. People who have experienced suicide will know that there's a lot I'm not saying in that, but it is its own distinct version of grief. So all of this is in play. We have a nephew who died at 27 years old after a leukemia battle. That's its own version of grief. That comes with, it's way too young, and this seems so wrong, and you miss somebody terribly, and the dreams of the future and what you hoped for in the future together, all of this is part and parcel of grief. So, trying to learn how to do this well is significant. In my experience, there are really powerful, beautiful ways that God meets us in grief when we really seek His presence and companionship as we are trying as honestly and straightforwardly as we can to name and speak honestly to our grief, including what am I feeling? And, you know, grief is sloppy. It doesn't come out in a very articulate narrative. But part of doing and processing grief, if you're able to do it with the right trustworthy people, is you don't have to, like, give them some fancy narrative. And when the question is, what are you feeling? It's usually just a messy avalanche of words. And I have found that when we are honest and we're deeply seeking God in grief, there is deep richness in our relationship with Him. There's deep union with Jesus, who Isaiah 53, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, tells us was a man of suffering acquainted with bitterest grief. So we have a Savior who is acquainted with bitterest grief. So to me, this is all kind of part of it. And if we navigate grief with sincerity and the best honesty we can, it will make us deeper, more meaningful people. The fiber of who this person is has a depth and understanding, a wisdom and a compassion that a person who hasn't experienced that grief probably doesn't have. So on the one hand, we'd like to say, can I get that depth without having to have this hard, terrible experience?
Right.
Unfortunately, probably not.
Yeah.
But that depth is beautiful.
Yeah.
There are many gifts that grief brings with it. There are many things in life that will mean more to us having experienced grief than they ever could have meant without it.
Right.
Simple things. Hugging someone you love can mean more to you than it ever did before. All of this kind of stuff. And then I think is the Christian aspect of grief. And this is what I love in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Paul talks about, we grieve, but we don't grieve as people who are without hope.
Right.
It's a powerful duality because he's not saying we have hope so we don't grieve.
Yeah.
And he's not saying we grieve, which means we have no hope,
right?
It's powerful.
Yeah.
He says we grieve, honestly, truly. We are human and we live in the brokenness of this world, But we don't grieve despairingly as though we have no hope.
Yeah.
And for Christians, particularly when our grief is connected to death, we bring our hearts around the resurrection of Christ, mm-hmm. who has promised us that we have heavenly eternal life with him.
Yeah.
And this becomes very, very important.
Yeah. If I can share a little, a bit of a personal part of my story, that feels pretty, resonant to what you're sharing. A bit of vulnerability here. A pretty big part of my story is that I was raped when I was a teenager, and a lot of my, story involves a lot of abuse in a lot of ways. And so grief, for me has taken a very different, has come out in a very different way, right? You're talking about loss. For me, it was a different kind of death, to be young mm-hmm. and to have something like that, taken. Mm-hmm. And so, like you were saying too, there's something that's been really striking and powerful about the way that I've been able to connect with the Lord in that. Even this year, really realizing when it came to Easter and to be at Good Friday, we spent a couple hours on Good Friday in kind of teaching and really reflecting on the cross. And something that had been really hard for me about my story is feeling like in the midst of what had happened to me, I felt really abandoned by God and felt like, God, where were you when that happened to me? And to be able to look at the cross and look at Jesus on the cross and to read again in the story of what happened and hear that even Jesus on the cross called out to God and said, you know, God, why have you forsaken me? That even in that moment, Jesus felt forsaken and abandoned by God, struck such a deep chord in me and in my own story. And I, like, just like you said, I'm like, there's something so deeply powerful about, like, I can connect with the Lord in that way. And I never want to be able to, right? But it's been really beautiful for me to find that and realize mm-hmm. that even that isn't the end of the story, right? That the death on the cross for Jesus isn't the end of the story. I recently got a tattoo of a flower coming out of a casket. And it's been that exact picture for me, that even in the places that felt like the greatest death or the deepest pain, mm-hmm. Out of those places, the mm-hmm. Lord brings new life and mm-hmm. resurrection. The cross isn't the end of the story, that the Lord Jesus rose out of the mm-hmm. grave and conquered death, that even in the places of my greatest pain, that the Lord has been renewing me and bringing out new life and new beauty and using that story of pain in my own life to mm-hmm. bring really beautiful things and really, like we've said, places of connection and richness that I could never have found other ways.
Yeah.
But it has taken really engaging with the grief of that. And it took me a long time to get there. I didn't know how to do it as a teenager. I ran from it for a long time.
Yeah.
But I really appreciate being able to have conversations like this. And I'm so grateful that folks will be able to listen to this and find that this isn't a taboo topic, that we can and we should be able to really go to these places because our Lord has gone there and
yes.
is, like you said in Isaiah 53, that Jesus was a man acquainted with grief of the bitterest kind, that there's nothing that is too scary or painful or deep that he can't care for us and comfort us in as well. So
thank you for sharing that. It brings a few thoughts to mind.
Yeah.
One, if people don't know this, you sharing transparently, my understanding is that by the time they are adults, approximately 20% of women in America will experience sexual abuse of some kind.
Yep.
That is a major reality. So sometimes a reason we don't want to grieve is because shame is connected with grief. Shame is its own topic, and maybe there's another podcast for that. Shame is hard, and it's got its own elements by which we don't want to open that door.
Right.
Grief has its own. Mm-hmm. and all of this is part of it. Here's the thing. Well, first of all, part of what you talk, much of what you talked about to me, you just talked about the very centerpiece of the power of Christianity, death and resurrection. Mm-hmm. Okay, now sometimes the death is the death of our physical bodies.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the death of an aspect of our life or our identity. Resurrection is God's powerful work for death. And sometimes I think when you experience something, the level of grief being really, really, really deep, you ask yourself, I remember, for me personally, the hardest death I experienced was my brother's suicide. Mm-hmm. And I honestly, honestly had the question when I was praying to God, can I survive this? Like emotionally, can I recover and become a person who can function well again? Mm-hmm. And I really wondered if that was possible. So that's a long story about growing through the grief. But the resurrection effectively says, yes, you can survive this, and you will. And then maybe, I can tell we're both getting emotional here, but maybe here's a thought that comes to mind. I don't want the podcast to conclude without this. One of the powerful and beautiful gifts of the resurrection is its redemptive victory. That doesn't say that what happened to us is not a big deal, right? Like, oh, yeah. We have a redemptive victory, so it means that wasn't a big deal. No, it's a big deal. We have a redemptive victory. One part of that victory is that this grief, yes, it is part of my story, but it is not my name, and it's not my identity, and it's not who I am. Mm-hmm. Who I am is a daughter or a son of God, fully loved, embraced, with God's full love expressed toward us. That's who we are. Yes, grief is part of our experience, but grief is not our name.
Yeah. Ooh. Okay. So what is grief and how do we do it?
Maybe people would be asking the question, how do we do it? Because I think we talked a lot about what is it,
and
maybe there's another podcast of how do we do it.
I think there is. I think that's a beautiful place to end, to know that we are not named by the things that have happened. We're not named by the worst of it, but we are named beloved children of God. So thank you all so much for listening today. We invite you to subscribe to the Hopecast in your favorite podcast app. And share this episode with a friend if you found it encouraging. If you want to learn more about Hope and who we are, you can find us at hopechurchrva.com.